And we're going to sing number three to start with. Number three.
I think it's
right here. Aha! There we go. So come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And we'll sing the whole carol together on page number three. Singing, and we're going to sing number 14, that's on the very back page of the batters of the book, number 14, Silent Night. Now, this is one that's become very famous this year again. It's been famous for a long time. It begins as a German carol, but it's alleged to have been sung in the trenches during the First World War, and so it's a lovely carol. Silent Night, Holy Night. After we've sung this, we'll be asked Fraser if he'd just have a word of prayer to commend us as we continue.
thank you that on this Sunday afternoon we can be reminded of that Christmas night so long ago. We've been singing about the wonder of Christmas. We remember the appearance of those angels, and that in itself was remarkable. But we thank thee for the greater miracle, the appearance of thy Son, the Lord Jesus himself, as a little baby. We thank thee for the significance, the relevance, the importance of that birth, even for us today. Help us to understand that Christmas isn't just a story that can be set and left a long time ago. Help us to understand that Christmas isn't just a story for boys and girls, but we thank thee for a birth that changed the course of human history, and we thank thee for a birth that can change the course of our individual history. And so help us this afternoon as we're met together in this way to sing these carols and to hear our Christmas message. So we seek thy best blessing upon us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now number seven, and it's an old one, Away in a Manger, and I think most of us probably sung this at school. I certainly remember singing it at school, and I can hardly remember school at all. I certainly don't remember much I learned there, probably because I didn't learn very much here, but anyway, that's not the point. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet. Christmas just for children. Well, of course, it's not just for children, and we could this little carol really is a prayer, and we could quite happily, each one of us, we could pray, I love thee Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my bedside till morning is nigh. And that's maybe more appropriate, as appropriate for us folks who are in the hospital today as it is for anyone, as we consider our particular need health wise together. Just let's turn over to number 5, while shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone about. Number 5.
Thank you.
quite amazing, isn't it, that often we sing these things through and we really don't appreciate what really happened that day. We were thinking in prayer just about how, what the influence of this particular event on the world has been. And the Lord Jesus came into the world on that particular day, all these thousands of years ago. But, you know, it's important to understand, too, that everyone in the district wanted to be there, wanted to be close to him. The shepherds came. They wanted to be close. They wanted to find out about this person. But, you know, more than that, you know, the heavenly angels came down with him. And, you know, it was almost as if to say they couldn't believe what was happening, that the Prince of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, should come down out of heaven, down into this scene of time. The Son of God should arrive down here in the form of a baby and be born in Bethlehem. How remarkable it all is as we consider these things. If that was to happen today, it would be on every news media around about the world. There would be cameras there. There would be newsmen there. There would be everyone there. But, you know, it happened so quietly. But it's recorded for us, thankfully. It's recorded for us in the Word of God, these particular events in the Bible, so that we can understand it, we can know exactly what happened on that day so long ago. We're going to just sing a couple of verses of number 10, Once in Royal David's City, and then we'll just think about what the Bible has to say after that. So let's just check which verses we want to sing. I think we'll sing the first four verses. We'll sing the first four verses of number 10. That's good now. As I say, it's good to see everyone here today. Thanks for coming along, and thanks for being with us as we have our carol service here in the hospital. We've been really building up to Christmas, haven't we, over this last few weeks? And some people for longer periods than that. I don't know when you first saw the first advert for Christmas time, or when some shop put up a thing saying that we've got the Christmas goods in the shops already. It might have even been back as far as August or July even, when you start to hear things happening about Christmas time, doesn't it? But as time gets closer to Christmas, we start to get excited, and particularly the children get excited about Christmas time and what that all really means. But, you know, there's a sense in which we've made a mistake as to what it all means. Because we think it's all to do with presents, and we think it's all to do with time off our work, and we think it's all to do with things in this world, shopping and having time together as families. Now, none of these things is wrong at all. There's nothing wrong with any of these things, and it's nice to have time with family and friends, and to eat together, and to have time together, and to open presents, and all of these things. They're all really quite nice, and nobody likes better getting a present than me, I can assure you. So if you've got one to give me, then that's fine. No, I'm only kidding. What I'm about to say, though, is that, you know, maybe we've got the wrong end of the stick. Maybe we've forgotten what it is that brought all this about. And if we read the gospel accounts of these things, we sometimes hear about shepherds, and we've been thinking about that, and the shepherds come to see the newborn baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we hear about wise men, and we would expect that that's maybe later on that the wise men come and see the child, the Lord Jesus. And we hear about angels and all of these things. And if we read if we read Matthew's account, we'll hear some of these things. And if we read Luke's account, we'll hear about some of these things. But, you know, there's a verse which is probably the best known verse in all the Bible, which tells us something about the Lord Jesus, and it's not found in either Matthew, and it's not found in Luke's Gospel, it's found in John's Gospel. And it tells us something about the motive behind the Lord Jesus coming. You know, we get to think about the idea of a gift, and that's right, the Lord Jesus came and he became the gift of God to the world. There's absolutely no doubt about that, and we present gifts to each other because of that. But you know what John says? Now, John was the disciple that was probably the closest to the Lord Jesus. And when he writes his account in the Gospels, he doesn't mention the birth of the Lord Jesus, in a sense, in the same way that Matthew and Luke do. He doesn't mention the nativity to the same extent at all that Matthew and Luke do. But he mentions the motive behind it all. And that's important, I think, for each of us to understand today, that we think of God in heaven as being somebody pretty distant if we believe in him at all. I wonder if I can ask the question in your own mind today. You don't have to answer me out, but, you know, do you really believe that there's a God in heaven? Because if there is a God in heaven, and I believe truly that there is, and I believe that this Bible tells us what he wants to say to us, it tells us in John's Gospel about the motive behind the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. And here's what John 3:16 says: "For God so loved the world." There's a motive, isn't it? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so there's a motive for you and for me today. I wonder if you could say to me that every time you get a gift, that the person that gives you the gift has got a real motive behind giving you it. Because sometimes that's the case, isn't it? Sometimes we give people gifts to try and keep in with them, you know, to try and keep them pally with us. Sometimes we give people gifts to sort of say, well, maybe it'll stop them being angry with me anymore. And maybe we give people gifts for lots of different reasons. But, you know, it's good to have the right kind of motive. I wonder if when the last time you got a gift and you knew that the person giving you the gift, the motive behind it was love. And you know, the Bible tells us, and we're very clear, it's very clear in the Bible, that God's motive to us was love in the giving of his Son into the world, the Lord Jesus. Now we know that he came to Bethlehem, and we know that he was cradled in a manger, and we know that there were shepherds came to the birth, and we know that from the Bible that there was a great song of angels glorifying God on that occasion down there in Bethlehem, in that little village, that little forgotten place in a sense. The birth of the Lord Jesus took place. But you know, did we realise, did you realise, did I realise that there was a motive behind it all? There was a motive that the Lord Jesus came into the world. He came because God loves us. And that gift was given, and it was great love. Great love. The Bible tells us about the love of God. It's greater than any other love. You know, we can work out in our own minds in this world what love is. We've got our own ideas of what love is. But God's love is beyond that. It supersedes that vastly. Because generally speaking, we love our friends, and we love our family, and we love the people who love us. But you know, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, God, the God in heaven, he loved us even when we were his enemies. That's some kind of love, isn't it? Now the Lord Jesus says to us, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and on the Sermon on the Mount, that we should love our enemies. And you can say, well, it's alright for him to say that. Well, it is alright for him to say that because he loved his enemies. The Lord Jesus loved his enemies because he came down into this scene of time. God loved his enemies in that he sent his Son down to this world to die for us at Calvary's cross. That's greater love than anybody else that you'll ever find in this world. It's a gift with a true motive behind it. The motive of love. How marvellous it is for us just to consider these things and just to think about it. How dreadful it would be if we had forgotten God's love to us. That's what John is trying to remind us in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world. He gives us a bit of a measurement, in a sense, if it's possible to measure God's love. He says, it's absolutely vast. So, in other words, if you could think of anyone else who would do this for you, you could match it up with God's love. Well, we can't, of course. We can't find anyone else who would do the thing that the Lord Jesus did and came down to this world and went to Calvary's cross to die there for our sins. The motive behind God's love. But you know, the next verse, John 3 and 16 we've just read, but John 3 and 17 says this: for God sent his Son, sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so he loved us, but he sent his Son that we might be saved. Well, you know, it's an interesting word, that saved. You know, I'm a farmer, and one of the things that happens every year for me, just not so long ago, maybe in the month of August and September, is that we harvest the crops. And the idea behind harvesting the crops is that they should be saved, that they don't go through the winter, that they don't get lost, that they don't get wasted, and they get gathered in. And that's the idea behind this word that the Lord, that John is speaking to us about the Lord Jesus. He says he's interested in us being saved. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? Well, you see, the Bible tells us not only that God is a God of love, but absolutely equally to that, God is a God of justice. God is a God of justice. And each one of us stands before a God, before a judge, who is completely just. And sometimes, you know, Fraser's a lawyer, he'll tell you about justice in the courts. Sometimes we begin to wonder about it. We expect that it should be the case. And we sometimes see things happening and we think, oh, that doesn't sound like justice. But the fact of the matter is this, that the Lord Jesus is the person who is our judge. And he's a just God. And he will judge rightly. And he will judge truly. But they said, he will save his people from their sins. His name shall be called Jesus. Jesus. Because he shall save his people from their sins. And so there the Bible tells us what we have to be saved from. We have to be saved from our sins. And each one of us are sinners. The Bible tells us that. It's very clear about that. And we need to be saved from our sins. You know, there's a hymn that says this. And when we call him Saviour, we call him by his name. I wonder if you call him Saviour. You know, it's one thing to call him Jesus. It's another thing to call him the Christ. It's another thing to call him the Son of God. All of these things are important, are true about the Lord Jesus. But here's what it says in the hymn. And when we call him Saviour, we call him by his name. It's possible that each one of us can have him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our personal Saviour. And he shall save us from our sins. There's another hymn says, God sent his Son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. But you know, not only did he come to save us, John tells us something else about the Lord Jesus, and here's what it is. In John chapter 10, in verse 10, he says, I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. A better life, a full life. Life to the absolute fullest. That's what is the idea behind the Lord Jesus coming. That you and I might have full life. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. I've got to the age I've got. And I've had a full life. Well, you could all say that from an earthly perspective, can't we? That we've lived our lives to the full. But that's not really what's been thinking about here. What it's saying is this. That our mortal life is limited, and we all know that. It's a limited time we have down here. But we're going to get life to the full, eternal life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He came into the world because of the motive of God's love. And he came into the world to save sinners. And he came into the world to give us the fullest of lives. Abundant life and eternal life. I wonder if I can ask you a question very simply. At this Christmas time, how good it would be if each one of us were able to say that I do. I have this full life. I've been saved by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have life eternal that he has provided for me. It's possible today, even today, this very day, coming close to the end of another year, nearly Christmas time, to really get into the reason for the season, as we call it, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, motivated by the love of God, with an interest in giving us a life which is beyond the life that we have down here in this world. And thanks for coming, and thanks for listening. We'll close with a final one. The last one is number 13 in your book again, which is on the back of your book. Who is he in yonder stall? Four verses all together, and the chorus will sing that. Feet we And we'll just commend ourselves to the Lord before we go. A word of prayer. Father, again, we thank thee for our time spent together this afternoon. And we thank thee for the person who's been at the centre of that, even thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and his birth at Bethlehem, and his death at Calvary. And how remarkable it is this afternoon for us to really be able to enter in to these wonderful thoughts, these wonderful things concerning thy Son, that he came out of heaven down into this scene of time. So remember us all at this Christmas time, our Father, that we may really understand the full truth of what Christmas is all about and what the person of the Lord Jesus, his purpose and his motive in coming here was, because he loved us and gave himself for us at Calvary. So we pray a blessing upon the folks in the hospital here. Thou knowest the particular need of each and every one. Thou knowest their health needs. Thou knowest their spiritual needs. And we bring them before thee for thy care and thy blessing. But thou is in thy grace and mercy. Speak to each heart and give them a real knowledge of the truth of God in these days in which we live. Remember those in the hospital who are responsible to look after the patients, and we pray for them. Think of the nurses, the staff, and those who do all the work around about the hospital. We pray a blessing upon them, that they would just care for them at this particular time of the year. So we look to thee, and we ask a blessing now in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Well, thank you very much for coming. And the Lord really bless you at this Christmas time of the year. Thank you.